Father, we thank you so very much for your sweet presence that is here already. What a great privilege indeed it is. We're so grateful, Lord. For it's not everywhere you choose to manifest yourself like this, but indeed you've chosen to honor us with your presence here today. Thank you. And so we come to pray. I pray you anoint me afresh, Lord God, and put the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people, both those who hear me locally here and others who hear me remotely by electronic means. Lord God, that Lord, as I speak, you help me, Lord, under the covering of my fathers to speak as I should, as an oracle of God, bringing forth and put the same anointing upon the hearts and ears of my people, Lord God, so that they will hear me. All those who hear me will hear me as the Holy Spirit will enable me to preach this word, both those who are here physically and those who hear remotely by electronic means, that your word will flow freely from you through me to all of your people, wherever we may be, all over the face of the earth. And this will do an eternal and external and internal work in each of our hearts and lives, so that our wills will be more humble, submitted to your will, our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Lord, that as we speak, Lord God, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back all these words wherever they may be heard all over the earth. A power that will heal, will deliver, will break yokes and free men to be doers of the word and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. I further pray, Father, you help me to be precise, to speak with precision, and to redeem the time so I will not say anything that is unnecessary, Lord, bringing forth out of the treasure of this wonderful word of yours things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, causing glory and praise to your name and blessing to us, your children. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Thank you for the covering of our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Again, I want to welcome all of us to this great, wonderful season of God's moving in the nations of the earth, in the church, and then from the church into the nations of the world. We're seeing more and more of that every single day when we pray. It's like you pray now, and before the end of the day, you hear something, you see something. Ah, God has done it. Wow, great stuff is happening, folks. We live in a wonderful Kairos time. Amen? This is a time when God is, particularly in our land, Nigeria, which is like the first fruits of, you know, that move of God in the end time of the earth. We all know the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide. And we thank God that we're seeing more and more, like I said, of God's manifestation in our nation, Nigeria. Folks, I am fully persuaded that it is well with Nigeria. You know, it doesn't matter what I read, what I see, what it just bounces. It comes and it bounces back. I say, God is in control. God is more in control today than he was yesterday. And he'll be more in control tomorrow than he is today as we continue to pray. So we have a responsibility today. And I want to thank God again for the Father House, this wonderful, wonderful platform that's been created for God to work and to speak through into our nation, speak into the nations of the world. Amen? Israel, look at Israel. Wow. Anyway, let's leave all that. We're going to be talking to you about the imperative. I guess that's why I started off like this. The imperative of seeing by revelation. The imperative of seeing by imperative means something that is absolutely vital, critical, important. Now, I didn't look in a dictionary, but I have an idea of what imperative means. So it's very important for us to see, but not just to see anyhow, but to see by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And this word was quickened to my heart, I believe, by the Lord Holy Spirit from the book of Job, which you are now reading now. Amen. Part of our daily Bible reading. And also from the Easter message that Pastor preached. Amen. That was a one heck of a message. If you haven't heard it, you need to go and hear. And if you heard it before, please, folks, go listen to it again. That is a seminal on time, what do you call it? Kairos message. Amen. That is a message for the hour. Amen. Particularly for us who are in this beloved nation, Nigeria. Pastor was preaching on how time, or chronos, as he said, continues. Time keeps moving on, it stops for no man, until, and that's the word there, until all of a sudden a Kairos moment bursts forth to interrupt chronos. I said, wow. I don't think I've ever heard it said at all. But the essence is that, wow, it means that, to me, what it spoke to me, said, that means that God is, in the Bible says, God watches over his word to perform it. But there is a passage of time involved. And what God does, he holds on to Kairos until the Chronos has been fulfilled, or until he decides it's fulfilled. In other words, he's not bound by time. Oh, I love that. That means God, the time frame, God created time. He created the heavens and the earth, he created the minutes, the hours. He created time, so he's in control of everything. Amen? I'm not a physicist, but I know that there's something called time dilation. Depending on where you are, what speed you're going, time either contracts or it increases. Now, who's in control of that? Is it the guy that's traveling? It's God. So even though he made time, he's not bound by time. So he can burst on anything at any time he so deems fit. So it's not critical. It's not the timing that determines the purpose, but God who determines when the time has determined the purpose. Do I make myself clear? So I mean, that to me, well, that was one wonderful part of that message. There were so many things Pastor said, but that one really took me on. I said, wow. So Chronos, Kairos moments come to interrupt the Chronos for a manifestation of God's glory, God's will, and also God's purpose, and a complete turnaround to fulfill God's will and purpose upon the earth. Amen? And of course, he gave us the example of was it Job or who was it? Anyway, but this is what he spoke about that. And I came back to have my house, and I said, Lord, you know, he came to have Jesus when he healed Lazarus. So I came to the house and I said, wow, Lord, I just began to think about it. At that time, I didn't even know I was going to preach today, but I just kept on thinking, Lord, that is an awesome reality. And so he now began to show me, he says, do you know that that's what happened in the case of Job? Job was a good man. When I say good man, I mean in the natural, amen? But somehow or the other, he got a bit tangled up in his Chronos moment. Amen? And even though he was a perfect, Bible says Job 1 says, we're a perfect man, upright, he feared God, eschewed evil. Amen? Let's go to Job. Job chapter, I think chapter 1, I believe. He had a lot of good credentials. Amen? Yes. To the point that said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, verse 1. And the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God. And this guy had all the credentials. Hello? He had it all, quote unquote, settled. But there was an issue. And there was somebody out there who was going to test him. And it happens to us all. Amen? No matter how perfect and upright you are, no matter how you appear to fear God, and you eschew evil, it's going to be tested. And guess what? We know what happened. The enemy came around, and he said to the Lord, verse 6, and the Lord said unto a day came, verse 6, a day came when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Let me just pause there. Some people say, how can Satan meet God? How can Satan be where God is? Who made Satan? Yeah. I think there's a saying that says, keep your enemies closer. So Satan was granted access. God is a good God, though. I mean, that was me. The guy won't be really near a million miles of that place. But God said, oh, you know, sons of God. He didn't even take his title from him. He says, the sons of God. So God still recognized, I made you. You're my son. Oh, yeah. Joko, clear vessel. God is a great God. Anyway, so the sons of God came to present themselves before, and Satan came also with them. And the Lord said, this makes me laugh. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? As if he didn't know. God is wonderful. He has a wonderful sense of humor. Amen? Says, from whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, of course, the Lord knew that. But the essence of doing that was to begin a conversation so that he would deliver Job. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was a segue into what God had decided he was going to do for and with Job. But look what happened. It says, after the Lord now said to Satan, he brought Job to the attention of Satan. In other words, he was bragging on Job. He said, you see my servant? There was a pause behind it. There was a cause behind it. Has thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. Say that word, please. A what? So there were perfect men in those days too. Hello? According to God here. And an upright man that feareth the Lord God and escheweth him. These were Job's true credentials. Amen. Then Satan answered, does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him? And so on and so forth. Anyway, all that he said, well, that's it. Verse 12 says, and the Lord said, and said, behold, all that he has is in thy power, not only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So by bringing up Job's name and praising him and giving him accolades, and be careful when you're getting praised sometimes. I'm joking. But God praised him. And because God, let me try him. It's just because you are doing him well. And God said, okay, it's in your hand. To receive a promise from him that he will not kill Job. God has seen something that he wanted to be removed from Job's life. And Job had not seen it. And he was going to preempt the devil from seeing it. Sometimes through big windstorms, headstorms. Perhaps God trying to save you from yourself. So he's asking, saying, go and try him. But make sure nothing happens to him. He must not die. You must not kill him. Anyway, so there it is. So, we all know what happened to Job. He's a man who's perfect, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil. Amen? God's testimony. So we all know what happened to him. He lost everything. Everything. Now, I said, Lord, you're wonderful. You mean, all the while Job had all those things, you saw them as things already counted but loss. But says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered all things. You know, so it's seen beyond the present. So don't hold on to what you have, folks. Leave God, let God do what he has to do. Sometimes it may look foolishness. Then all the things you labored for, you worked for, and then all of a sudden, one night, it will not be your case. So. But I am saying that God does these things because he has a higher purpose in store. Amen. So he said, get all bent out of shape. Anyway, so here is him. Everything. All his property, all his children in one day. Talk about catastrophe. God is a good God. He doesn't afflict willingly. But he does it to make sure that we get into a better place. Amen? Says he scourges, sounds like harsh words. He scourges every son that he receiveth. So that why? They might be partakers of his holiness. That word scourge is a very powerful word. But let's go on. And that's right unto this, Satan now was allowed to smite Job. This was his children, everything. We all know the story, so I'm not going to belabor it. But now God allowed Satan to smite Job personally with boils from head to toe. Now, I don't know about you if you ever had a boil before. Just one part of your body. You know that place is going to be, you'll be treating with gingerly tenderness. Now, can imagine from head to toe. Hello? So you know what he was going through. The devil is a bad devil, but God will overcome. Amen. But this is it. So he said, Job chapter 1, 6 and 7. Yeah, we read that. Yes. So he said, God said, behold, he's in my hand, but save his life. So God could see Job's spiritual condition. And instead of allowing Satan to see it and to take advantage of it, he used it to bargain for Job's life. Amen? And I said, God sometimes allows buffeting in order to get us to the spiritual place he wants us to be. This is one scripture I used to shake my head when I read it. Psalms 119:67. I wrote it down. I said, Psalms 190, yeah. No, that's 167. 6-7, please. I think I wrote it down. 119, verse 67. That's 68. Next, verse before that. This is it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. What made the person keep his word? Affliction. Affliction has a purpose. It's not to make your life difficult. It's to make you see where you've missed it, retrace your steps and keep God's word. Some God allows it sometimes. Amen. Before I was to read on to the next verse, there's another one he gave me, and it said Psalms 119, verse 71. This one used to quote unquote make me feel extremely uncomfortable in those days. Psalm 119, 71. It is good. Everybody, let's read it together. Read it to yourself. It is good for me. It's not a confession. You're reading the Bible. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. What that means is that without affliction, because of the sin nature, people don't learn. Well, if God were able to save you and do everything just by telling you to do it, and you do it, then affliction would not be necessary. It is to the degree that you are able to learn the statutes of the Lord and do them, this is to that degree that your affliction will reduce. Because God has to get that sin nature out. And he will not be able to get your attention otherwise. That's why it's called the sin nature. Amen? But God is not an unrighteous God. Amen? God wants you to get out of it so that we can fulfill our divine destiny. Amen? Drive out sin nature and then, you know, fulfill our divine destiny. But we're talking about the imperative of seeing by revelation. So we see Job. I want to say just now, poor Job. But Job is a far better place now than he was when God began with him. He's in heaven. I'm sure you know that. And he's not suffering at all. And guess what? The level of his reward was supernaturally enhanced. Amen? So he's not suffering at all. But at that time, Job suffered all these things. But the Bible says, in all of it, he maintained his innocence, even as his friends. What wonderful friends. May God give us real friends. You know, there was one of them that was really real, but the other ones were like, look, Job, you are lying. God does not afflict. No. You're telling us stories. Say what you did. We are your friends. We'll take you. And the guy was saying, no, I didn't do anything. And it's true, he didn't do anything. Thank you. Omission. Sin of omission. Yes, so Job was insisting that his righteousness, and he would never, blah, 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 blah. But the truth of the matter is, Job maintained his innocence for his friend. So, folks, listen to what I wrote here. I say, be careful when you have to keep defending yourselves before men. The only impartial judge of our lives is the Lord God, or spiritual oversight that God has anointed. But my point is this. Job 42. Well, that's where we're going. Let's go all the way to the back. We know what happened of the guys. They spoke to him. And, you know, I was reading it in conjunction with, you know, what's on the Daily Rhema, Daily Bible Reading Study. But I found I was getting more and more interested. So I kept on, you know, I thought, God really tried for Job. You know, to the point that I thought to myself, God, why don't you speak to him now? So he knows that he's not, but God let him say everything that was in his heart, spoke it, all that junk that he had in, evil surmises, those things that he had, his pride. There's one chapter, he said, I think it was 31 or 32 times, in the space of one chapter. He had a high esteem of himself. I'll take that again. He had a very high esteem of himself because of his riches, because of everything he had. And God said, you don't know who you are. You're not the one that determines who you are. I am. So we see. And so let's go to where the end, where things begin to turn around for Mr. Job. Mr. Job. Meanwhile, at this time, he was all alone. His wife had gone. No, his wife didn't die. His children had all gone. His health was gone. All his riches had gone. So he was just defending thin air. Now, see this. When God finally speaks to Job and tells him off, in a way, in a very nice way, but, you know, you and I, and we're not mates. You cannot be responding to me the way you are when things are happening the way I'm taking you right now. Take it on easy. I want to deal with you differently. So he said, after he spoke to him and said all these things, in verse 32, then Job, chapter 42, rather, verse 1, said, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know, you didn't listen before, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. And then it says, here I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou me. Verse 5 is where I'm going. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, this is a monster phrase. It says, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore? Now he now knew what he was made of. Wherefore I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes, which is where you came from. Folks, this will not be our portion in Jesus' name, amen? Humility is a wonderful thing. You can skip all those chapters between the beginning and the end here if Job had more humility. But look what happened. It says, verse 5 is the punchline, which I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Now, was he looking at a figure of God, or God came in a cloud? No. He's talking about the eyes of his understanding. He's talking about a revelation understanding of who God is, what God is to him, and how omnipotent, how powerful, and how awesome God. Now I see you. After all these things have happened, after all that I've said, and here you are, you're still exonerating me. Lord, I'm sorry. I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. My point is, folks, we're going to have to get this place one way or another. We're going to have to get to that place. And I'm trusting that many of us, by the grace of God, as God has been dealing with us over the years, are getting there. You know, I quoted that verse earlier, and it's in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, he scourges every son that he receives. So if you want to be a son, get ready for the scourging. God is going to make sure that you're perfect, entire, complete, wanting nothing. So Job realizes his error, and that he's been very, very foolish. But then God now says, okay, all right. God, oh, I said, okay, I heard that, yes. God, I said, okay, what you want to do is this. Go and pray for all your friends. These are the friends that have been opposing him for only God knows how long. He said, go and pray for them. Eh? Pray for them. And that is when the Bible says in verse 10 that God turned his captivity around on the wings of a prayer, undeserved, but done in obedience to God in love. Do you get what I'm saying? That love that he showed opened the end of Job's captivity. And when he did that, God now blessed him. Let me read this. Now blessed him, turned his captivity, prayed for his brethren. Also, Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And it's all about his children. And, you know, says they blessed the latter of Job more than his beginning. And he named all the sheep. He has everything. You check it, double of what he used to have before. Amen? And his daughter was so fair. All those blessings came upon because he repented, agreed with God, and said, God, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. The point here is that while it is of vital importance to hear the word of God, it is even more important to have a revelation It's good to hear the word of God, but more importantly, as we are being fed with that word on the wonderful word on a daily basis, as the fathers teach us, as we receive the word of instruction, the word of understanding. Remember Sunday? Sunday was so beautiful. I'm still being toasted by that word. Amen? You know? And, you know, we are being blessed by God. God is showing unto us what he wants us to become, giving us a revelation of it. Amen? Causing us to see beyond the physical, the things that we have, things we desire, the accumulation of wealth, the accumulation of this, all that will come when you say, Lord, my eye now sees you. I repent. Repent means you're turning away from. I repent and you turn away from whatever it is that God was trying to get your attention at. Then God begins to bring all those wealth and all those riches and things. Amen? I want to thank God for the mercy of God upon us in this house. The eye, this is because the fathers would be so very well taught. The eye that he was talking about there, like I said, it's not this physical eyes. He was talking about the eyes of his understanding, having now been enlightened by the word of God. And not only that, but his body that had been cowed and calmed by the affliction. Hello? There's a place where you get to when your spirit is quiet because you have learned not to depart until God says, move. We're going to get there, folks. I know we also have a little of that bounce. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it must be bouncing according to God's direction, according to God's will. But Job got to a point where, okay, Lord, I'm cool. Whatever you want to do, do. That's when he now got the deliverance. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 22. We read this practically every morning. Amen? Do make room for Jesus. Let's go there. Ephesians 1, 17. Let's see. This is my over. Yes. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know. In other words, unless God enlightens the eyes of your understanding, it's not going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen because you do it. In fact, you cannot do it. How much light do you have? Unless the eyes of your being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us all to believe according to the working of his mighty power, next verse, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Next verse. Far above all principality, all power, all might, and dominion. We read it every morning, good morning. At least we should be anyway. Every name is named, the Lord in this world, and also that which is to come. And, next verse. I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church. Let's give a little clap of it. Hello? So, this is what we do. We make this confession of good morning, Jesus, every single day. But here's the punchline. It says, that ye may know. Now, not know by seeing. Job said, hitherto my eyes have seen you. He said, but now. I said, hitherto I have heard you after hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes of understanding, my eyes which were enlightened to receive revelation, now sees you. And not just sees you, but sees you and everything you have prepared for me since Christ began. The whole, of course, was around there. I'm saying, you know, what I mean is that everything God has prepared for him and for us in particular since Christ began. And what is that? The hope of his calling to be conformed to him in Jesus. The riches of his glory, which we are all going to carry in the name of Jesus. Going not just glory, but glory unto glory unto glory unto glory unto glory till Jesus comes. Amen. That's our destiny, folks. Whatever you have to do to get there, please. And that's when I read this message, and I heard that message on Sunday. I said, God, whatever it takes, doesn't matter, whatever. The riches of his glory and the exceeding greatness of his power, according to the power wrought in Christ that made Christ Lord over all things, all power, all might, and dominion over every name. And here's the punchline for me. I read this every morning. I say, Lord, you're wonderful. Make room for Jesus. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of the church, over all things to the church, the fullness of his body that filleth all in all. That's our destiny, folks. You are the Pastor said something one day, I think he just dropped it and ran. He said that he was talking about Jesus Christ and all the personal Godhead. That, you know, Jesus, Lord Jesus, is that the man, is it now a man, is going to be man forever. But so the fullness of him, that body that is at the hundredfold level, said that entire body has been divided up and made the body of Christ that will fill all in all. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I heard that, and I said, I had to go and listen to it again. I said, did he actually say that? What? I don't know why I'm getting into this, but maybe God wants me to say it. Every human being that has been born again, amen? Particularly those of us who by his grace and mercy have been trained to, you know, be soldiers of Christ and to take, you know, and to carry the glory. The body that Christ inhabited, the hundredfold body, when I say hundred, I mean the size of Christ so that when he sits down next to the Father and to the Lord Holy Spirit, they're the same size. The Lord Jesus had transformed that body into you and I and me. All of us have a part of that body. So the body of Christ will fill the atmosphere, not just by osmosis, but by the presence that each of us carry of a portion of that, his hundredfold body. So he's like a man like you are, but he's everywhere for you and I, and you hear me saying you, all over the universe, all over the cosmos. Folks, that's a huge body. And when you look at these pictures of outer space, I'm looking at this one thing on my app, Hindustan Times. I think in India, you know, they like to do, look at things celestial there. And practically every day, there's a news picture of the galaxies that these people are seeing. This Hubble telescope. It's in color. It's beautiful. And I say, God, it's amazing. And they now find out that the knowledge they had is not even accurate again. That is far more than we can see, exceeding abundantly above. Well, if man can think it, God has beyond. God has already gone beyond. And I say, Lord, that's the body that will fill all those places with the presence and the power of God. That's the body that's going to recreate. That's why he's giving us this. Put all things on his feet, getting head off his, and his body that fills all things in all. This is what it really means, that our eyes see him by revelation. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ was also ministering the parable of the sower. And after he ministered to all the people there, thank God for the people, amen? Amen? He now said something. Let's see. Verse 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 10. Trust you're getting something out of this so far. Folks, we have a wonderful heritage. When I see things, it's almost beggar's belief. When I say beggar's, in sense, I believe, but I think my mind and my understanding has to be enlarged quite a bit for me to be able to comprehend the length, the breadth, and the depth and the height, and then to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that enables a human being like me to be partakers of the divine nature. Not only that, to carry that divine nature and to go and rule planets and galaxies, which is where we're going. Yeah, people don't believe it, but all those things. Bible says he created nothing in vain, and he created all things for the church. Anyway, let's get back to John. Look at me, fine. Let's get back to Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 verse 10. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but these are some of the things I think about when in the morning. And I say, Lord, that means I'm willing to. Amen? Luke chapter 8 verse 10. Where is it now? Yes. Now, this is what it says. What happened was this. They had a discourse. The Lord Jesus went out preaching, and he preached to a group of people. Talked to them about the parable of the sower. Man talked to them, spoke, and then he spoke to them a parable. God always talks in parable because he says it's given unto us to know the secrets, but to them it's not. Now, does God want to keep the secret from them? No. But there has to be an approachment. There has to be an understanding that for you to get that secret, you have to come to him. He has declared himself. For him to be able to enjoy, you have to dig into your Bible. Revelation is not on the surface. How did he pass the God all the revelation? And mommy got all the God of revelation they're speaking? By digging the word, by taking the time out, by searching the scripture to see if they're so. Over years. Years. Believe me. Anyway. So he said, you know, I talk about the soul, the seed, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I'm sure, I can imagine the perplexion in the minds of all those people that were at the seaside that day. They'll be looking, what in the world is he talking about? The sower sweet, huh? Okay. All right. Some fell among thorns. Above on a rock. Okay. Some fell among thorns. All right. Some fell on good ground. And they brought for fruit. Amen. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. End of summer. It sounds funny. But you see, that's what God just gave him a taste. Just like those guys that he fed bread and fish. Just give them a taste of what what could be if they pursue him. That's why Jesus was so disappointed when he came to us and said, "Ah, Oga, Chichi David, you're here." He said, "I know what you're here for, the bread and fish, not because you heard the word." But that's what God is trying to spark in these people. Thank God that there were some people that the Lord Jesus was able to explain to. And that's why we have the understanding of what he was talking about. So as the disciples asked of him, "What might this parable be?" And he said this, oh, I love this. "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others," don't be an other, "to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and that hearing they might not understand." Now, I thought Jesus was able to see and hear and understand. Now, your heart disposition determines what you hear. Your heart disposition determines what you see. I know people have been in Christ way before me, and I just think, I say, "Lord, what a great privilege you did for me that I'm in this body of Christ." I'm not even in this, but I've talked to some of my, you know, Christian friends, and I say, "Lord, do you want me to say anything?" I say, "Just leave them. Each man chooses them. Just leave them." But I know what is. I feel some of the angst, some of the caring that God says, "Ah, this guy can't continue. So what do? I just pray and leave it like that." And that's what you need to do too. Because God wants them to know the truth, you know. And God is preparing a mighty outpouring of his truth upon the earth that nobody will be able to gainsay. And I'm trusting that many of those my brethren, who some of them were even there before me, I just smile. I say, "Thank God. God's a good God. He's a good God. Ah, fantastic. Wow, hallelujah." Okay. All right. Look what he says. "Unto you, disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to others in parables." Why? "That seeing, they might not see. That hearing, they might not understand." I thought God was able to see and understand. Thank you, Pastor Lee. Yes. But with a right heart attitude. Otherwise, it's just throwing, like you gave the parable, throwing on stony ground. It will not bring forth fruit. Amen? Now, God will still, you know, speak and send out his... but he that hears has to hear with the hearing of the God, the hearing of the Spirit. And so now he gave the parable. The seed is the word of God, and by the way, so on and so forth. But where I'm going is this. It says in verse 18, which is what we're talking about. We're talking about the imperative of revelation. It says, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given." Given what? Given what? Given what? Thank you. More revelation. So it's your response to the word of God in your heart. It's a response to God's speaking to your heart, or speaking through you, through others, into your heart. That response determines your next step, your next upper step. Receive it, you bring forth fruit. 34, 64, preferably 100-fold. But despise it, you'll either be a stony ground or the wayside or the rock. The rock, right? Listen, this one, they receive the word with joy, but because they have no root, put down your roots. But here's the point. He says, "Take heed therefore how, not what." There's a how and there's a what. You can hear the what and not hear the how. Think of that. You can hear the what of the word of God and not get the how, or the how of the how. It happens in cathedrals, in churches, all over the year, all over the earth, every day. They hear that word, they hear the what, but the how, or what, how to do the what, they don't hear. Either it's not preached, or it's preached and they don't listen. That will not be our portion. So take it therefore how you hear, not what you hear. How you hear what you hear. For whosoever hath what now? Hath something that he has heard. Hello. To him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken even that he what? Seemeth. Seemeth. In other words, you can put on the airs and graces, but it's going to be tested. Give me this in Amplified. I wrote Amplified here for some reason. Amplified. This verse. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Okay, thank you. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. Check this out. For to him that has spiritual knowledge, not just knowledge. He's talking about knowledge, epignosis, not gnosis, will be more given, and from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses. Everything in the realm of guess now. Supposition. And supposes that he has will be taken away. Is this the will of God? No. It's not God's will. It's a question of function of that person's heart. Hello? So, kingdom secrets, I wrote here, kingdom secrets are only for those who diligently seek him. Hello? Those who diligently take heed, how, not what, they hear. How you hear the word of the kingdom is much more than what you hear. Hello? The Bible says God fed them as they were able to bear it. So it's not the quantity. It's the quality you can extract and work upon. Because if you don't use that word, God will know what happens. The devil will take that word from that person. But if you work it out, and you see your life begin to change, you say, this thing works. Then you encourage, you ask for more, and God gives you more. You work that one. I say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a very important thing. Very important. It says, even that which he thinks and guesses and supposes. Heaven, let me continue. I trust you understand. So this attitude of heart to take heed how, not what you hear, transports us from being a hearer only to obtaining revelation knowledge, how to keep the word and to bring forth fruit with patience. Let's look at, I think, Luke 10, 25. Luke 10, 25, that's what it says. Luke 10, 25, hallelujah. That's just two pages away. In verse 25 now. Okay, talking about, yes. And this is a good Samaritan, the parable of the good Samaritan. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. You see, he even had the wrong heart attitude. Wanted to see how much this guy knows what he's going to say. Say, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the word? Now look what he says. How? Not what. How? Readest thou. You see, he was trying to stir up some physical, but Jesus went to the core. He said, it's not what you think you know. It's how. How you interpret for yourself. What says, how readest thou? And then, thank God, he had learnt well. Said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor, incidentally, as thyself. First and second commandment. And you say, well done. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Amen? We now read this, we was willing to justify. But the essence is, he came back with the right words. The two first two of the two commandments. Life, find a love, and love your neighbor as yourself. Very correct. He just said, you've answered right. But make sure you do it. Don't let it just be words to you. Don't let it just be something you quote when people ask what is the commandment. Amen? Hello? How read us? So this is it, folks. And this is what we need to do now. So we shall love the Lord our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let's go to how. Help me, Lord. The most important key to being able to receive and not just the what of the word, but more importantly, the why and the how is our heart condition. Hello? We're in a season of time when things are in a state of flux. And I just say, Lord, let me try and keep it simple. What can I say to the people that will just give them an idea of what you want at this particular material time? And guess what? The scripture that you quote, only quotes it every single morning. Isaiah 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33 and 6. I didn't even look at that. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Now it says thy times means that it's an everlasting thing. Because time changes with time. Your time, my time are different. The time we're in now is different from the time to come. But this stands constant. Wisdom, knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, wherever that time takes you to. The strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord. There's a column there. It's not a continuous. It's a column there. You pause there, right? Then that says, to do this, for wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability, and the fear of the Lord must be your treasure. That fear of the Lord is not a belligerent fear. It's a fear, a reverential consciousness of the presence of God in your life on a consistent, continual, daily basis. So that there's some things you can't do. There's some things you will not even allow to enter into your mind as a thought. Amen? The heart condition. That's what rules everything. I can say a lot of our scriptures, but I believe that's the one that Lord, I can ask him, God, what should I say? And just this just popped into my heart. Maybe because I hear it every day, but you know, that's what it's all about. How the key is to be able to see what God wants, and the only thing that can help us do that is a correct heart condition, a heart of submission, heart of meekness, a heart of knowledge and wisdom of what God wants, which comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what stabilizes you. That's what lets you know no matter what the buffeting is, God is still in control. It doesn't matter. Whatever the eyes may see, doesn't matter what the devil may bring. This is God. And once you have this, that's your treasure. The fear, there's not, it's a reverential fear of God that makes you shy away from doing anything that he doesn't like, that you know he doesn't want. Pastor taught us very long, a long time ago, this came back to me as we were preparing the message. He said, knowledge answers this question, what? Understanding answers the question, why? And wisdom answers the question, how? I'm sure we all remember it from way back when. And the instruction of wisdom, which came a little bit later than that, answers the question, the how of the how. Wisdom builds the house, but it is instruction of wisdom broken down by the anointing of spiritual fathers in spiritual authority. Hello? That's what enables us to fulfill and build a house of our Christian lives. Just look over the years. It's getting more and more clearer by day by day. So the path of the righteous shines like a light shining brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And by the grace of mercy, we go without any contradiction. That's been our experience in this house. But this is it, folks. Broken down by our fathers, those in spiritual authority over us, enabling us to fulfill our Christian lives, with all manner of precious and pleasant riches and apprehend the fullness of Christ. I want to read that chapter. Pastor Lalu hasn't read it today, but he normally reads it on Sunday. Amen. Just to brush us up my words. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. This is where we're going, folks. And sometimes when I read, I say, Lord, you know, read this every day now. Making room for Jesus. Well, I mean, Ephesians, where is it now? It was here when it was, yes, chapter 4. Look what it says. Verse 10. Yes. Let's start from verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. God left nobody out. Oh, gosh, shakalata. It's a choice, folks. You are destined. I am destined. The question is, will you take hold of it and not let it go regardless of what comes? So this word can be fulfilled in you, in I. All come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know what that means? That means you're going to have opposition of men. Men will oppose the perfection of fullness of Christ. And they'll do it with slight cunningness. They'll use all the wiles of the enemy to try and backtrack you or false track you. Show you things that are not convenient. This is why you have to take the word of God serious. We have to take it seriously. That we know we have spoken to us, but speaking the truth in love. This is how we do it, folks. May grow up. And Pastor Ulalo says that may about 3 or 4 times. There's an option. It's not guaranteed. Is may grow up. May grow up. May grow up. I said, yes, you got it. That's right emphasis. Thank you, Pastor Lally. May grow up in one of 2 things that we feel, all things. You know what that tells me? That means not, we know it's to be true. But see, this word rhymes it home. When it says all things, it means all things. Which means that between you and God, there will be no difference. The only difference will be that one will be omnipotent and you will depend on God. Which were made in his image, in his likeness already. And all he's waiting for us is for us to graduate to this level where he can pour out his anointing on us without measure. That's what we're about. That's what all this is about. And it's very, very soon going to yield fruit in the name of Jesus. So we fulfill God's will. It says, all. May God be in all things which is ahead, even Christ, from whom the whole body, here we go now, this, again, another description of the body of Christ, we talked about it earlier, fitly joined together and then compacted by that which every joint supplieth, maketh, according to the effectual working in the measure of his part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of self. What are we saying, folks? This is our goal. This is where we're going to. It's from this that we now launch the other great things. Hello? All the universe being subdued, all the nations of the earth being under subjection, and then we now rule and reign. It's going to happen, folks. Me, I'm firmly convinced. I mean, I don't know what anybody else thinks, but there's no way on this earth that anybody can convince that what God has written is not able to perform. So the question is how? How then do we ensure that what we see, that we see God by revelation, so as to build our Christian lives, building it up in a way that will cause us to inherit this kingdom and the fullness of Christ. Again, there's no way you can say this without thanking the fathers and their faithfulness, divine faithfulness, over years of teaching, years of watching over the word in their lives to perform it, to show us what God wants us to be. They come and they speak, they demonstrate, they love when it's not easy to love. They declare, speak the word, go home, refine it, bring it back again, teach us again and again, and all the while they're living Christ before us. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Folks, I want to thank God that God brought me to this place a long time ago. Amen. And I said, Lord, thank you. And like who they say, happed upon a certain place. Just happed upon a certain place. And I said, wow, this is none other than the house of God. Not that I knew God, but there was something in the house. Something's here. I thank God for it. Thank God for my fathers. So this is it, folks. So, let me see. Where are we now? Yes, all right. So then how do we receive and experience the power of the revelation of your lives? And it's very, very, very instructive that when Pastor was preaching on Sunday, some of the things he said, you know, just kept burning in my heart, you know, about, you know, how the Lord Jesus came and interrupted Kairos with Kronos. You know, you cannot have a Kronos moment without revelation. In other words, a Kairos moment. Kronos is time, you know. A Kronos moment that interrupts Kairos. It's like how does they say in the word? Say laser focused. When the Lord Jesus was praying those prayers in where he was when Lazarus had already died, I'm sure it must have been occurring to him, you need to get out there. You need to get out there. You need to get out there. But you know what? The Bible says 4 whole days. Praying. And then we know what happened. He came and he raised up Lazarus. So I was asking God, I said, what is it that made it so possible? Because, you know, we know that Lazarus is a very good friend. So obviously, unless he's not the God I know, there would have been an element of feeling, you know, sorry, or feeling a bit, you know, bad, that, Lazarus has died. But, okay, I need to go. But, you know, he put all that aside. Listen to what the Lord was saying. Don't go anywhere. God, the Lord Jesus had to receive from God the Father too, you know. Lord, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he had to listen, say, Lord, I've just been told that Lazarus is about to die. What should I do? He said, stay. Now, I'm going to get there one day. In Jesus' name, believe me. One day, because I like to put myself in other people's say, what was going on through his mind at the time? Your best friend, God forbid, is dead or is dying. And they're calling you. They sent you a message. And you know you have the power. You have the power. Wouldn't I have made the best investment of time and quickly rush there before he dies? And, you know, he had raised up, you know, the widow of Nain. And, you know, he had that level. Now, lay hands and raise him up. But no, God was fixing on doing something entirely different. And he had to pick that and then stay. 4 days. Remember what the disciples said? He said, yeah, let's go. We're going to wake up Lazarus. One of the disciples that said something like that. If he lives, thank you, Thomas. If he's alive, he'll do well. He said, Thomas, I'm coming, you know. I know he's dead. Graveyard dead. We're going to wake him up. I can imagine the silence that must have ensued with all the disciples at that time. You're going to do what? Of course, you know the story. He got there. He's been there 4 days. And he said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? In other words, we were not seeing the glory of God at that time. But he was bringing it. Lazarus, come forth. I don't want to go into all that. You know the story. But what always blows my mind is, we'll get there one day. Mercy, Lord. There was no agitation. He knew exactly what he was going to do, exactly the words that he should speak, exactly nothing superfluous. No ha, alone. Yeah. Forgive me. I don't mean to sound irreverent, but you know how we Christians do sometimes? God, why you allowed this now? I was ready to come, God. Perfect control, under authority. And said, Lord, it's too late. He's been dead for 4 days. There's no point. Lord, thank you for coming, but I said, He groaned twice. I said, where have you laid him? I'm trying to imagine in my mind's eye the astonishment when that grave, you know, that grave was closed, when the guy hopped and he came out. I'm sure most of them wanted to run. But you know, they wanted to find out if indeed it was Lazarus, true. Of course, we know it was. But I mean, they were like, I think they were just transfixed by the enormity of what they were viewing. Folks, it's coming around again. It says, not one jot or one tittle of this word shall pass, except all be fulfilled in diverse places. Mercy, Lord. Okay, let me begin to close now. Lord, have mercy. So how then do we receive and experience this power of revelation in our lives? I wrote here, number one, I got this from Pastor for the website, humility. Hello? That's the beginning. That's the beginning. For every Christian, the first thing is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Kairos moment. Proverbs 11:2. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11:2. I think it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. With the lowly in heart is wisdom. God gives grace unto the humble. That's the first thing we must learn. And God is having mercy, but we're not there yet. Hello? I don't think anybody here can say they've attained. I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong. So we humble ourselves so we can receive more and more measures of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen? Ephesians 1:15. It's a very important phrase. Let's just read it. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Oh, okay, we can read that from wisdom and knowledge. We're talking about, you know, wisdom and stability of our times, receiving wisdom from God for every incident, every hour. It says that the seasonal to give thanks for you. Okay, that's it. Wherefore I also, after I heard your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, might, and dominion, every name that is named not only in this world, which will also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. That word things there is in italics. So it's not just things, it's all. Has put all under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's the hundredfold I'm talking about early on. His body will be filled everywhere. Full all things all in all. But the essence here is that this is how we begin to get revelation knowledge in our lives to fulfill that word that God gave us. Praying as a daily habit. Now we're doing this. This particular Ephesians passage, I love to pray it every morning because it's like, it's just like reading a litany of what God is doing in me. Thank you. In my own life. Every morning when you make room for Jesus, I read this verse. It's called relish. And I thank God for the Father's house who brought it out to us as a means of making more room. More room there means more an allowance for God to have his way by the confessions that we make, declare, and that we put our hearts into every single day. Okay, so that's that. Now, next one, humility first. Then praying as a daily continuing habit for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen? Making more room for Jesus. Amen? We know about that. We just talk about it. If you're not doing it, you need to be doing it. And of course, good morning Jesus prayers every morning. Amen? Habitual, daily, effectual, fervent, travailing prayer. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers with strong crying and tears and was heard in that he feared. Amen? We'll be heard in that we fear in Jesus' name. Folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So the more we pray, the more we pray and travail, the more we fear the Lord God, the more the wisdom God can download unto us for every single course. Amen? It's a cycle, like, you know, we pray more, we remove all the dictates of the flesh, some strong crying tears. Amen? We enter more and more into the fear of God, and before the fear of God, as it grows, you get more and more of the wisdom of God. Gradually, as you flush out more and more of that sin nature, it's a cyclical thing, more wisdom. Gradually, flush out more and more of that sin nature, more wisdom. Until, like Christ, you become the wisdom of God. That's where we're going, folks. It all sounds so simple. It all sounds so almost elementary. But the things of God are not difficult. They're not complex. It's faith. I mean, when you pray, you don't see that thing going on in your mind. Just that when incidents begin to happen, something comes up, you react in a way and you say, wow, did I do that? Oh my goodness. Or somebody gets on your nerves and instead of blowing your top, you just pray for the person. Father, have mercy. When you're done, you say, wow, Lord, this word works well. Oh, Lord, thank you. You know? That's how it is, folks. Daily making progress. Doing these things over and over again. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Daily fulfilling these things. Of course, there's reading the Word to know the hope of our calling in Christ. Amen. That's how we know where we're going. That's how we can measure ourselves also. Amen. Hello. Then, of course, meditating on the love of God. We know this. Meditating on the love of God and all the other scriptures. Praying in the Spirit on a regular basis every single day. Basically, this is it. I was spoken about the Kairos moment interrupting the Kronos moment, so I won't go over that again. But the essence is this, folks. God is desirous of us coming to a revelation knowledge. I titled it The Imperative of Seeing by Revelation. So you're not just seeing something like that says in a looking glass darkly. You're seeing God now by revelation face to face. And not just seeing Him, you're seeing Him as He wants you to be. Because if you see Him, you know the image into which you're being transformed. Now, we're not talking about a picture, because I really don't know what He looks like physically. But how do you see Him? That talks about in the mirror of the Word. Every day you dig into the Word, you see more. You say, ah, God, that one I'm not doing it well. Oh, God, that one I'm not doing as well as I know I should be doing it better. Lord, help me. Have mercy. So what you do, on a daily basis, you're constantly refining yourself. That's the essence of what we're doing on a daily basis. That's the essence of Good Morning Jesus and all the wonderful things we do in this house. You're constantly being challenged by the preaching of the Word, by the receiving of that Word, by the working out of that Word, and all the while, God has placed before you two poplars, the fathers. Be ye even as I am. So, folks, we have a wonderful heritage in this house. I'm going to close now. We must understand that it's not something that is done by the flesh. For us to partake of what is coming, and it's an awesome thing. Sometimes I meditate upon it and I say, Lord, are you actually going to do all this? I know you're going to do, but to the carnal mind, or even the partially carnal mind, it seems like an impossibility. You look at yourself. All these infirmities still there, and somehow those infirmities are going to be removed. And somehow you're going to walk by the mercy of God in the power of the Christ, declaring the manifold wisdom of God all over the earth. You're going to speak to man and people be healed. Peace! Be still. A storm stops. That's the kind of man God is transforming us into. Day by day. From one degree of glory to a higher degree of glory. And so, folks, let's take a hold of these things we've heard today. Let's not see them as, like the Bible says, as fables or old wives' tales. Let's begin to see all these things as the imperative that God has given us to obtain revelation. We will not see anymore or hear after the seeing of our eyes or hear after the hearing of our own ears, but by the revelation knowledge of the Word of God that God gives unto us, causing us to be transformed, changed from within, from one degree of glory to a high degree of glory until we see Him face to face, His image and likeness. The Lord give us understanding. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Sometimes I just wonder how it is that God has had so much patience with us. He says He watches over His Word to perform. Says He has long patience waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And He will have His perfect church. The question is, will we be a part of it? And my answer to that is, according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your faith, to my faith, so be it unto me. Each one shall answer for himself. But I am fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that what God has promised He will do, He will surely bring to pass. And it's going to be glorious. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stand up and pray. Father, we are so grateful. I want to thank you so much for this time of sharing tonight. Thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, your help. Thank you, Lord, for the covering of the fathers. Thank you for the great example that they are living and have lived before us. It's a privilege, Lord, to be partakers of the goodness, of the fatness of this house. We are very grateful. We take absolutely nothing for granted. We come first of all again to say thank you and to humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand, asking for fresh mercy. Lord, it's not of him that willeth, although we will. It's not even of him that runneth. We will run, Lord, by your grace and mercy. But it's of you that showeth mercy. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We cry it unto you, Lord God, like Brian Bartimaeus. Son of David! Son of David! Have mercy. So that all these things that we see in your word, all these things we've been taught, all this life of Christ being lived out before us by our fathers, Lord, we will not be found wanting in this day of your showing. Let there be a performance, Lord. Let there be an awakening in our hearts, a desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done. In our lives, first of all, individually, in our lives, collectively, and then in the entire earth. Give us wisdom, insight, revelation, knowledge. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit concerning this confession. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. For your blood. Your life. Your power. Rimbe sankas kuntum brigavakada, rin upon our wills, karakubakosambre, in our minds, katsandaruba perkera, in our emotions, kepumbakarakada, physical members, rimbe sankas kuntum, regional heavens, rimbe samprakavakamikabi, zatakun rimte, rimbezka, insufficient measure, minesa to kanskuru, biresukuru, in this regard, rimbe ribikatangas kutun, angskerubikasara, rimbe sankas kuntum, in Jesus' name. If you need healing and health, or you want deliverance, please just raise your hand and let's pray concerning these things. Father, we thank you for your word that has gone forth here today. The Bible says, he enters your word, giveth light. Thank you, Lord, because your word goes forth now. We send forth the word of healing into the hearts and bodies of all those, both those who are here and those who are joining online. Stretch out your hand to this device, wherever that is. Or if you're listening on Mixed LR, just simply stand up and raise your hand unto the Lord. Father, for all those who are believing you for a touch, a divine touch in their bodies, God bring healing and strength, we say in the name of Jesus, under the covering of the Father, we send forth now the word of healing so that from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, everybody is healed in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. He will not hinder the fullness of the healing power of God. Working from the head of from the crown of your head, even unto the soles of your feet, in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of weakness, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit of plague and pestilence, every spirit of lack. We say we remove you, we bind you and cast you out in the name of Jesus. We declare you're free from every hindrance to good health, free from every attack of the enemy against your divine blessings, prosperity, healing and health in Jesus' name. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done in this regard. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit again. Roma sambra vakakazon kere. Mambara vakitoko so priga vakabasa. Rambara prelete kosong. Merema mere kesakazon kore ishe kolumia. Baraba. Father mire zam. Ma pere tankra. Ma pere belu mire usakazon. Briana kazonze. Mekre soram mire misanka. In Jesus' name. Over to the choir.